Hello, I'm Janelle Anderson, host of the Human Proof of Concept podcast. Before a recent NYC MedTech event, I had the privilege of sitting down with each of the speakers to ask them a few questions. Here's one of those interviews. Alix Lacoste, could you tell me where you work and what your title is there?
I'm a data scientist and subject matter expert in IBM Watson Health.
Great. And when you think back to, let's take high school as your starting point, what did you want to do when you were in high school?
lots of things. I really enjoyed biology. I also really enjoyed film. So I actually did filmmaking for a bit after high school and then realized my passion for learning was too great. And so I was interested in biology, specifically the brain and how it can make humans behave in certain ways. So kind of a mix, I think, of science and behavioral science, so psychology. But ultimately, I really realized that no matter the question, everybody is comfortable at different levels of understanding, and I like to understand things really deeply. Mm-hmm. So that's why I just wanted to understand things at the level of the neurons and the cellular processes that were going on.
That's what a PhD is good for.
Right?
And how did you get from there, from that starting point, to where you are now?
So it was a windy road, actually. So like I mentioned, I did some filmmaking. I went to community college at some point. And then I just realized I wanted to do a PhD in neurobiology specifically. Really, it's I think the people that I met at Berkeley, as soon as I transferred to Berkeley, I met some professors that were doing the research that I was fascinated by. And I think in general, when you're young, you don't know what is your dream job because you haven't met the people who do it. And that's why I think it's so important to have role models.
Mm-hmm. And unless you happen to want to be a teacher or a doctor
or
a vet.
That's right. Right, exactly. And so I remember actually, not to blame my dad because he's actually been incredibly supportive, but even in high school, I said, you know, I'd like to do research in biology. That was one of my thing. And he said, I think you have to be a doctor for that. And I saw my sister go through medical school. And I thought, this is not for me because it's so much just learning, memorizing stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm terrible at memorizing stuff. I can memorize if I understand how they work. But it's really, you know, I want to figure things out. I definitely have curiosity, and I think it's an incredible, noble profession. But I just wanted to be someone who was discovering things. So anyway, when I got to Berkeley, I wasn't a biology major to start with. But then I saw that there were professors who were doing exactly what I wanted to do and who had PhDs and who weren't MDs. And so that's when, you know, I really decided to pursue that. So it wasn't easy because I wasn't in a quantitative discipline before. And I really, again, you know, little by little, pushed myself more towards more computational and quantitative work. But it's been incredibly rewarding. And I think basically just don't listen to people who tell you you can't do this or you can't do that or you have to this or that. And I think, you know, I grew up in France, and often in France you study something, you're going to work in that area, and there's not a whole lot of flexibility. What I really appreciate with the U.S. is there's much more focus on individual variability and individual talent. And if you have a talent, if you have a passion, I think things are much more possible. Of course, you know, I've received great support and a privilege in so many ways, absolutely. But you have to take that support and to recognize your own abilities and try to push yourself further and make others believe also.
Did you come over to the U.S. to go to Berkeley?
I came over to go. My first year was actually at UC Santa Cruz, mm-hmm. so I didn't get into Berkeley. I went to just, a public school, high school.
We have that in common. I'd be able to reject
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, I just
Way to
went
go,
to
Berkeley.
Yeah. Well, it's hard, right? Yeah. To know how to select students is really hard. So I went to UC Santa Cruz.
You know, Watson could help with that.
That's right. Probably, you know, by taking, you know, training on applicants that actually succeed.
That's right.
And I'm pretty sure it would say that standardized tests are not the best way.
Probably.
It's been shown by other means, right? But so, yeah, that's a good point. So I went to UC Santa Cruz, and there originally it wasn't necessarily – I wasn't meant to stay because it was expensive, and in France, education is free for the most part. You know, even though I have loans and grants and work study, it was still expensive. So after a year, actually had to leave because the financial package wasn't enough. So I went to community college and lived with relatives. So my mother is American and her relatives are in California. So I did that. I'm very grateful that they took me in. I had to learn how to drive in 2 weeks, which I would never recommend. Yeah. Even if the roads are large, that's not a good idea. So nothing bad happened, but I was a safest driver for a while. In any case, I went to the local community college and studied film there for a while. And then, like I said, I just, being in the industry for a while, I just realized that although I think, I'm a creative person, I have a very analytical mind, and I love learning, and so it's cool. I just really wanted to pursue a higher degree, and then, you know, went to Berkeley and realized that I could do what I was thinking about doing already years ago, which was research in biology. So it all turned out really well. I think I'm just incredibly lucky. And there are a lot of people along the way who helped me get to where I am today.
And was there a defining moment as you were going through where maybe you didn't realize it, but at that time, had you chosen to go the other route on the fork in the road, if you will, you would have ended up in a completely different place?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I could have just stayed in France, right? Mm-hmm. And then schooled there. I was a bit of a lost soul because I have so many interests, especially at that point. You know, it's really hard to know what you want to do. And in France, when you go to university, you have to choose a major immediately. Mm-hmm. So, and then if that doesn't work out, you have to repeat that year.
Oh.
Yeah. So I could have, you know, pursued that route, right? And in some ways, it might have been good, but I just, I'm a bit of a free spirit, and I love to learn what I decide to learn. And it was a bit painful to be in classrooms and to be, you know, taught to in France in high school. And so if I had chosen to stay there, you know, I don't think I would be the person that I am today, because I wouldn't have been allowed to be creative and to be my own person and to choose my learning experience the way that I was had the fortune of having here, being in, you know, a big university in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Who was the most important person or mentor along the way? Don't blame
it's hard
me.
Because
questions.
Well, I have to pick two.
Okay.
You know, my mom was definitely a huge source of inspiration ever since we were kids. We didn't live with her, which meant that when we saw her, we really talked about the real stuff about twice a month. And she really fostered my curiosity, I would say. And, you know, I love to go to museums with her, or talk about all kinds of things. And we talked till 4 a.m, which wasn't very acceptable in my dad's family. But and, you know, she helped me, I remember, for applying to college. I mean, this is something that you just simply can't do alone in our day and age, right? Mm-hmm. It's really, you have to have people who help out. Afterwards, I was very independent, but I think this thread of really intellectual curiosity, and my dad really also fostered that intellectual curiosity in me, and he's an engineer. The other person that I really need to recognize is my uncle, Ben, who I was living with at the time when I was in community college, and I wasn't going to apply to a four-year college because I had integrated in me that it was too expensive. Mm-hmm. and I couldn't swing it. And so I wasn't going to do it. But my uncle, he's actually a venture capitalist. And he said, at least you have a 4.0. You need to apply. Apply to Berkeley. And he told me that every day for several weeks. And finally said, okay, I will. And it's the only college I applied to because of Ben. Wow. Yeah. You know, my parents thought, okay, she'll come back to France and we'll figure things out. But again, it's, you know, the problem when you think you can't do something for whatever reason it is, you know, maybe you're lacking confidence in your abilities, maybe it's for financial reasons. It's really amazing when someone tells you, no, you can. Mm-hmm. Try it. And that's incredible. And I really wouldn't be here today if I hadn't gone to Berkeley, probably, you know. And so I really have to thank him for that.
Wow. Finally, if you were in high school, when you think back to when you were in high school, what do you wish somebody had told you? Or what would you tell a high school student?
Yeah, I would tell... Be a selective listener. I mean, you know, you think high school students are, but just a selective listener in the sense that don't listen to people who tell you you can't do this or you can't do that. Listen to the people who are going to help you. Mm-hmm. Often, I think when we're young, we don't really discriminate. We get a lot of opinions from left and right. But there are generally people, there's always someone who wants to help out. And you need to harness that energy and that gift that this other person is giving you. And sometimes it's really hard, again, to recognize those people because we just don't have that much experience when you were in high school. And so don't listen to people who say, you know, you're bad at math and that's how it is or something else. Listen to the people who are pushing you to be a better person and whatever that means for you.
Great. Okay, I'm going to switch.
So I'm supposed to now say the same thing in French?
Évidemment. D'accord. Je vais changer à français. Question numéro un. Tu travailles où et quelle est...
Ma position.
Position.
je suis scientifique à IBM Watson Health.
Mm-hmm. Numéro deux. Quand tu te souviens l'école secondaire, mm-hmm. à ce moment, qu'est-ce que tu voulais devenir? Oui.
Devenir. J'étais intéressée par la biologie et aussi par le cinéma. Donc, c'était assez différent. Mais finalement, en fait, ce que j'ai fait, c'est que j'ai travaillé dans les deux, dans le cinéma et en biologie. Et j'ai réalisé que même si j'étais créative, dans un sens, j'ai un esprit très analytique. Et donc, en fait, la biologie, la recherche, c'est vraiment quelque chose qui me passionne et dans lequel j'ai envie de travailler pour toujours.
Et comment est-ce que tu as fait le progrès de là à ici, aujourd'hui?
Oui, aujourd'hui. Alors, je suis née à Paris. J'ai vécu à Paris, mais ma mère est américaine. Et donc, sa famille, en fait, est en Californie. Et au lycée français, c'était un peu difficile d'apprendre seulement ce qu'on voulait m'apprendre. Et j'avais envie de découvrir plein de choses, que c'était un peu plus difficile en France de faire, parce qu'en France, on est obligé de décider de ce qu'on va étudier dès le lycée, même en terminale, en dernière année. Et moi, j'avais envie d'explorer plein de choses, comme la linguistique ou des choses qu'on ne connaît rien quand on est lycéen. Et donc j'ai posé candidature pour des universités américaines et j'ai été prise à UC Santa Cruz. Et donc, j'y suis allée pendant un an. C'était vraiment, vraiment très excitant, très intéressant. Et après, j'ai dû partir parce que c'était trop cher, finalement. Mais donc, je suis allée dans une community college pendant 2 ans et j'ai vécu avec la famille de ma mère qui était vraiment... très sympa de me laisser habiter chez eux. Et puis, de là, en fait, j'ai quand même posé candidature pour Berkeley. Et là, j'ai découvert que il y a des professeurs qui sont aussi des chercheurs et que vraiment, c'est ce que j'ai envie de faire en les entendant parler de ce qu'ils font. Et spécifiquement, j'ai toujours été intéressée par le cerveau. Et donc, je voulais faire de la recherche en neurobiologie. Et donc, j'ai vu qu'il fallait que je fasse un doctorat pour ça. Et donc, je me suis appliquée. J'ai été prise à Harvard pour un doctorat. Et puis là-bas, c'était vraiment super intéressant aussi. Mais je me suis rendu compte qu'il y avait beaucoup de données qui n'étaient pas utilisées en fait du tout par les chercheurs et qu'on faisait beaucoup d'expériences, mais que ces données ne vont nulle part, ne sont utilisées que par une ou deux personnes. Et donc, je me suis orientée plus vers data science, être vraiment scientifique, d'utiliser d'énormes quantités de données pour découvrir des choses qui sont pas possibles par des expériences seules ou alors qui prendraient vraiment beaucoup trop de temps. Donc c'est pour ça que je suis allée à IBM Watson Health.
Est-ce qu'il y avait un petit moment qui a changé tout?
Oui, je crois que vraiment la décision de partir aux États-Unis, j'étais tellement motivée pour faire ça et j'ai eu la chance d'avoir le support de mes parents. Mais je pense que si j'étais restée en France, ben, j'aurais vraiment eu une destinée complètement différente.
Et qui était le personne le plus important?
Oui, je dirais ma mère et puis aussi mon père. En étant vraiment des personnes qui ont poussé ma curiosité intellectuelle, en toujours en demandant plus de moi, c'est-à-dire j'étais bonne élève, mais bon, je pourrais être mieux. Et puis avoir vraiment à pouvoir avoir des discussions assez poussées avec moi et pas en me traitant pas comme enfant, bon, ce qui est un peu difficile de temps en temps de pas être traité comme enfant quand on devrait, mais en même temps de vraiment parler comme une personne intelligente et de me pousser à apprendre des choses que je connaissais pas et vraiment d'avoir la curiosité intellectuelle.
Et un oncle aussi.
Et mon oncle. et mon oncle aussi, je dois vraiment le remercier parce que quand je vivais avec mon oncle et ma tante donc en Californie et que j'allais au community college, j'allais revenir en fait en France après community college parce que je pensais pas que ce serait possible pour moi de pouvoir payer l'université comme l'université de Berkeley. Et puis, mais mon oncle m'a dit, si, écoute, post-candidature, tu sais jamais, post-candidature. Et il me l'a dit tous les jours pendant une ou deux semaines. Et finalement, j'ai dit, bon, d'accord. Et il m'a même aidé. Il a regardé mes essais pour poser candidature. Et finalement, j'ai été prise. Et puis, ça a marché. Bon, c'est sûr que j'avais des emprunts, etc. Mais bon, il a vraiment cru en moi. Il a cru que c'était possible. Et pour ça, vraiment, je dois remercier très chaleureusement.
Et pour un étudiant
au lycée, qu'est-ce que je leur dirais?
Oui.
Qu'est-ce que je leur dirais comme conseil? Je dirais qu'il faut pas écouter les gens qui te disent que c'est pas possible que tu fasses ci ou ça et que c'est en fait de restreindre ce que tu penses de toi-même. Et je pense qu'il faut vraiment essayer d'écouter les gens qui sont là pour t'aider. Quelquefois c'est difficile de savoir qui est là pour t'aider et qui est là en fait pour te mettre des bâtons dans les roues. Et c'est difficile parce qu'on n'a pas énormément d'expérience quand on est au lycée, mais vraiment d'essayer d'identifier les personnes qui sont là pour nous aider. Tout le monde a besoin d'aide. Je serais jamais ici là où je suis si j'avais pas eu de l'aide. Et donc il faut vraiment se laisser aider, se laisser guider et juste pas écouter les gens qui disent non, c'est pas possible.
Et écoute seulement le bon conseil.
Voilà, les bons conseils, oui. C'est vrai, on pourrait dire ça.
Très bien, merci, c'est excellent.
Merci.